Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Bank of America, sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, dedicated to offering solutions to help businesses win locally and globally. More at bankofamerica.com/gamechangers.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Z's Divine Espresso, offering organic coffees via drive-thru windows and inside at 1800 East 23rd Street and 2351 West 31st in Lawrence. CoffeeInLawrence.com.
82 degrees in Lawrence, 85 in Manhattan. The time is 6:06. You are listening to KPR. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online, streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30. 6:36, an update on the new world screwworm. They have more cases down in Texas. And we will learn about how some teachers up around Boston are using the World Cup to teach school geography. We heard a very similar story based here in Kansas City. We'll find out how they're doing it in Massachusetts coming right up on KPR. Stay tuned. The forecast for northeast and east central Kansas is kind of ugly. Flood warning until Thursday morning for Atchison and Leavenworth counties. This is specifically for Stranger Creek. A flood watch from 7 o'clock tonight through tomorrow morning for most of the KPR listening area. A heat advisory going into effect at noon tomorrow for all of the KPR listening area. Make sure you take it easy. Try and get somewhere cooler. Stay hydrated. Check on your neighbors and give a little extra water to your pets.
Support for KPR comes from Blue Collar Press. Blue Collar Press has been helping businesses, musicians, and artists, big and small, turn ideas into promotional merchandise for 20 years. More information at bluecollarpress.com.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a 50% chance of showers and storms. It's going to be humid tonight. Only getting down to the lower 70s. Sunshine tomorrow, highs around 90. But again, the humidity is the story. That's why we could see heat index values up to 106 tomorrow. It's 6:20.
Support for
The Normal World.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations. 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is a great way to start your day with the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, offering memberships to help support the museum's mission of studying life, past and present on, to educate, engage, and inspire. Membership details at biodiversity.ku.edu.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 82 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
Since 1973, you're listening to NPR News from Washington.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. Gas prices in Kansas are down 11 cents in the past week and now stand at an average $3.80 per gallon. That's still a dollar higher than a year ago. In Missouri, the average price is $3.85 a gallon, down 15 cents in a week. AAA spokesman Nick Chabaria says that's not stopping people from doing a bunch of summer traveling.
Now, they may find ways to save money during the week or cut back on driving during the week, but when it comes to taking trips, you know, folks are still doing that.
AAA says one way to save is by buying smaller amounts of gas more often before the price increases. Costco and Walmart say purchases of 10 gallons or less are up as people top off rather than completely filling up. Kansas researchers want to better understand the complex Oglala Aquifer that supports the western third of the state. The Kansas Geological Survey is leading a project using a helicopter and an electromagnet to send waves underground to map how much water is left. This will make research more specific, giving experts data every 100 feet instead of every 100 miles. It will also allow farmers to know just how dire their water situation is. Jim Butler is with the Kansas Geological Survey.
They'll look and say, man, we've only got 30 feet of aquifer left. And that, I think, will energize folks to start saying, hey, we've got to take this very seriously.
The helicopter will fly across southwest Kansas, a region that uses the most water on average, mapping a section at a time until late July. The 2026 baseball season at the University of Kansas came to an end today after the Jayhawks lost to the Oklahoma Sooners by a score of 13-2 in the NCAA Lawrence Super Regional. Greg Eklund has the wrap-up.
The game resumed after the Sunday night suspension in the third inning with KU trailing 8-1. KU's prospects didn't look much better after a night's sleep as the Sooners made it a nightmare with four more runs in the sixth. KU coach Dan Fitzgerald, the two-time Big 12 Coach of the Year, says his retrospective look at the Super Regional involves much more than KU's performance on the diamond.
It's a lot bigger than baseball, and it's the time, it's the experience and the journey, and this was a wild one.
KU finished the season with a 45-18 record and tied the school record for the most wins. I'm Greg Eklund.
We have a flood watch in effect from 7 p.m. all the way through Tuesday morning for virtually the entire KPR listening area. Then tomorrow, a heat advisory noon Tuesday to at least 9 p.m. Some areas until 10 p.m.
From NPR News.
Weekday from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will have your regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas State University, where students engage in hands-on learning and research, preparing graduates for real-world challenges that contribute to communities across Kansas and beyond. More information at k-state.edu.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia, and many other frequencies too, always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Stay tuned. Coming up, a little more All Things Considered at 7:01 on your KPR One stations. We will have news headlines, followed by Stardate, then classical music at 8 o'clock, a rebroadcast of Classics Live. At 9 o'clock, we have jazz. If you're joining us on KPR 2, up next at 7 o'clock, we have a rebroadcast of This American Life.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing backup power, such as automatic standby generators and backup battery systems for businesses and homes that can be used during storm season. More at Cromwell Solar.
Flood warning till Thursday morning for Atchison and Leavenworth counties. Tomorrow, a heat advisory, noon to 9 p.m. for virtually all of the KPR listening area, and a flood watch going into effect at 7 o'clock tonight.
From NPR.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Cleo and Leo on Elm Street Bakery and Coffee in North Lawrence, offering Mexican-inspired pastries, coffee, matcha, and more. More information on Instagram and Facebook.
Tonight on Classics Live, coming up at 8 o'clock. We will be featuring the St. Petersburg String Quartet. Hear a recent recital of theirs of Bach, Shostakovich, and Ravel. Classics Live tonight at 8 here on your KPR stations at 9 o'clock. We shift gears and we bring you Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from SpiderArt Constructors, offering foundation repair for leaky basements, cracks, leaning walls, and waterproofing. More information on home preservation is at Spider, Spider with a Y, SpiderArtConstructors.com.
A flood watch now in effect through tomorrow morning for most of the KPR listening area. We could pick up some more rain tonight, so have multiple ways to receive flash flood warnings, things like that. We have received an awful lot of rain recently, and the ground just can't hold that much more. A heat advisory goes into effect tomorrow at noon. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Iran and Israel say they are halting attacks on each other after trading fire. President Trump called for a ceasefire and says final talks are proceeding on a deal. Separately, Israel says it's shutting down the single crossing for aid and goods into Gaza, citing security concerns. NPR's Anas Baba reports.
Israel closed the Kerem Shalom crossing, citing what it calls necessary security measures following Iranian missile attacks. This halts the entry of all aid and commercial goods into Gaza, as well as the entry and exit of aid workers and volunteer doctors. Additionally, Israel has closed checkpoints throughout the occupied West Bank, further restricting movement between Palestinian cities there. Israel similarly sealed Gaza's crossings in the early days of the U.S.-Israeli war on Iran, but reopened them after U.S. pressure. Meanwhile, Israel continues striking Lebanon and Gaza. Gaza health officials say nearly 30 Palestinians have been killed in airstrikes since Saturday, including at least six on Monday. Anas Baba, NPR News, Gaza City.
Disgraced cryptocurrency executive Sam Bankman-Fried is asking President Trump for a pardon. As NPR's Bobby Allen reports, Bankman-Fried is serving a 25-year sentence for fraud and money laundering.
After months of praising Trump, Bankman-Fried has formally asked for a presidential pardon. A jury convicted the one-time crypto star in 2023 after prosecutors alleged he used money from his customers at the crypto exchange FTX to prop up another business and to pay for his luxury penthouse in the Bahamas. Bankman-Fried was a Democratic mega donor before he was sent to federal prison, but he has since changed his tune, taking jailhouse interviews with Fox News and celebrating President Trump. Trump has issued more than 1,600 pardons and clemencies in his second term, most of those tied to the January 6th Capitol rioters. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani says a new watch party has been scheduled for fans during tonight's NBA Finals game between the New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs. This comes after the U.S. Secret Service and New York City Police canceled a planned gathering outside Madison Square Garden. NPR's Brian Mann reports.
Mamdani and President Trump will both be at Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. According to city officials, law enforcement determined a watch party for fans outside the garden wouldn't work because of heightened security surrounding Trump's visit. The last watch party at the venue Friday night turned chaotic with more than two dozen arrests. The newly scheduled gathering will be held for 5,000 fans in Bryant Park, also in Midtown Manhattan. Attendance is free, but registration is required. In a statement, Mamdani said these watch parties have become a celebration of New York City itself. The Knicks play at home tonight, holding a 2-0 lead in the series. Brian Mann, NPR News, New York.
A powerful magnitude 7.8 earthquake hit the southern Philippines, triggering landslides, causing buildings to collapse and killing at least 35 people. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center lifted its alert hours after the quake. This is NPR News.
Stardate June 8th. If you look toward the west the next couple of evenings and feel like you're having double vision, well, you are. But it's nothing to worry about. It's a conjunction between the two brightest points of light in the night sky, the planets Venus and Jupiter. They're separated by less than 2 degrees, the width of your finger held at arm's length. Venus is the brighter point, the brilliant evening star. Jupiter is only about 1/7 as bright, but it still outshines all the other planets and stars. Jupiter is the largest and heaviest planet in the solar system. It's a ball of gas with a dense, oozy center. Its atmosphere is topped by bands of clouds painted tan, yellow, red, and ivory. The clouds reflect most of the sunlight that strikes them, making the planet bright. Venus is only the 6th largest and heaviest planet, right behind Earth. It's also covered by clouds, but they don't form colorful stripes. To the eye alone, in fact, they look featureless, a smooth blanket of white. But they're more reflective than Jupiter's clouds. Venus is also much closer to both Earth and the Sun than Jupiter is. That combination makes it the brightest pinpoint in the night sky. Venus and Jupiter will be closest together tonight and tomorrow night. Then Venus will pull away, increasing the gap by about 1 degree per night, slowly ending the double vision in the evening sky. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Good to have you here for classical music. It's Monday evening, and there's Dvorak and some traditional Chinese music ahead. And here from the French composer Emmanuel Chabrier, a Bourré Fantasque played by the French National Orchestra led by Armand Jourdain. Thank you. a bourrée fantasque by Emmanuel Chabrier. So a bourrée, that would be a kind of dance form, sort of double time. One, two, one, two. Fantasque? I don't know. What is the difference between fantasque and fantastique? We'll have to go to the judges on that one. I see they're out on a smoke break. I'm not sure. That would be the French National Orchestra, Armand Jardin, conducting.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, inviting viewers to connect at station events. Details delivered to email inboxes in the Kansas City PBS Live e-blast. Available at kansascitypbs.org. And Friends of the Press, a membership program of the University Press of Kansas that supports the publication of scholarly and regional books. More information at kansaspress.ku.edu.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 82 and cloudy. Wind is from the east-southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-70s. It's 82 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Antonín Dvořák's Symphonic Variations are a set of variations on a folk tune. That's sort of a leitmotif for this hour is folk music, folk tunes. And this is Dvořák's variations on the tune I Am a Fiddler. Not really one widely known, but here is the London, certainly not in this culture, right? But I suppose if one were Czech, maybe one would know that one. London Symphony Orchestra, led by Colin Davis. Symphonic Variations by Dvorak. That was the London Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Sir Colin Davis. Variations on a Czech folk song called I Am a Fiddler.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating the future one discovery at a time. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Manhattan Free Clinic, offering care through a variety of morning, midday, afternoon, and evening clinics, thanks to volunteer providers and community support. Details at mhkfreeclinic.com.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and cloudy. Wind is light and variable from the east-southeast. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid 70s. It's 82 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
This is a traditional Chinese folk song. And the wonderful guitarist Zhufei Yang, highly critically acclaimed guitarist, and she's going to play her own arrangement of this tune called A Moonlit Night on the Spring River.
Thank you.
a moonlit night on the Spring River. Traditional Chinese folk tune there, as arranged for us by and played by Zhufei Yang. Steve Seal with you. It's a Monday evening, and our music is supported in part by Made In Cookware. Made In Cookware is crafted by chefs for use in restaurants and home kitchens around the world. Their cookware can be found at madeincookware.com. One more French piece. Boy, this is an old French affair here. Maybe not for the conductor, I don't know, but the National Orchestra of Avignon, Provence. Boy, we're out in the rolling hills here for a piece called Sentimental Story by the French composer Charlotte Sohi.
From the KPR newsroom, this is Kay McIntyre. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm watch until 1 o'clock this morning for most of the KPR listening area. That severe thunderstorm watch includes Anderson, Clay, Cloud, Coffee, Dickinson, Douglas, Franklin, Geary, Jackson, Jefferson, Lynn, Lyon, Osage, Potawatomi, Riley, Shawnee, and Waubonsie counties. Again, this is a severe thunderstorm watch, not a warning, and it is in effect until 1 o'clock this morning. There are some storms developing to the northwest of our terrestrial listening area, so we're keeping an eye on those this evening. Make sure you have more than one way to get your severe weather information. But again, a reminder from the National Weather Service that there is a severe thunderstorm watch for portions of the KPR listening area. That does include Topeka, Lawrence, Manhattan, Emporia, and points west to about Concordia and Salina. It does not include the Kansas City metro area or the northern tier of northeastern tier of Kansas counties. From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre.
Thank you.
It's called Sentimental Story by the French composer Charlotte Sohi. Deborah Waldman led the National Orchestra of Avignon, Provence.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 82 and cloudy. Wind is light and variable from the east-southeast. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 90s. Wind will be from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-70s. It's 82 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, welcoming you to a string quartet recital at Johnson County Community College. It's the Grammy-nominated St. Petersburg Quartet, who've played in Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, and the Library of Congress. Now they're here in the Polsky Theater, getting ready to bring us Bach, Shostakovich, and Ravel. First, here's a special arrangement made just for them of the famous Bach Chaconne.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next piece is Shostakovich String Quartet No. 7, and it was dedicated to his first wife, to the memory of his first wife, who passed away in 1954, and Shostakovich composed this quartet a little bit later, and though Stalin's times were already gone, and World War II was over more than a decade ago, The quartet still reflects a lot on these times. Thank you.
This next quartet is my absolute favorite, so we hope that you enjoy Ravel's string quartet.
Thank you.
That was the wonderful string quartet by Maurice Ravel, played by the St. Petersburg String Quartet. The concert began with their violists, Boris Vaner's own arrangement for them of the Bach Chaconne in D minor. Before the Ravel, we heard the emotionally charged String Quartet No. 7 by Shostakovich. This amazing group has a long and impressive history. Founded in 1985 as the Leningrad String Quartet, they blazed a trail through chamber music circles, winning a number of notable international competitions across the world. When the city of Leningrad resumed its historic name, the quartet changed its name to the current St. Petersburg String Quartet. Relaunching in 2022 with two new members, Kansas City musicians, cellist Sasha Groshang, and violinist Ned Kellenberger. They joined KU's viola professor Boris Vaner, who's been a member since 2005, and founding member violinist Alla Aronovskaya. You can learn what's next for them at stpetersburgquart.com, as well as checking out their numerous classical music, chamber music recordings available. While you're at it, check out kansaspublicradio.org for more information about this show, Classics Live, where each week we bring you a great local classical music concert to help share it with a wider audience. KPR sound engineer Chuck Smith recorded the show, and I'm your Classics Live producer, Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
With Morning Edition, you don't have to wonder where information is coming from. We bring it to you firsthand.
Joey Palacios with Texas Public Radio was there covering that protest and joins us now.
NPR criminal justice correspondent Meg Anderson was at the intersection where it happened, and she's with us now to give us the latest. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning.
Get your news from reporters who see for themselves. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Heartland Community Health Center. Providing primary care, dental, mental health, or help with a chronic condition. Heartland accepts all patients, including Medicare. More information at heartlandhealth.org. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. We're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Israel and Iran backed away from further strikes today after they traded fire for the first time since the U.S. agreed to a ceasefire with Iran 2 months ago. The renewed hostilities raised concerns that the Middle East could plunge back into a full-scale war. During a telerally supporting Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tonight, Trump predicted the war would end soon.
I think we are winning that battle, but you're really going to win it over the next 2 weeks. When we declare total victory, it'll be a total victory. It'll happen very soon, and oil prices will come tumbling down.
Industry experts say even if the war ends, it could take a while for gas prices to return to what is considered normal. A federal judge has ruled that President Trump's $100,000 fee for highly skilled worker visas is unlawful. 20 states sued over the policy, saying it would impede their ability to hire teachers and medical workers. The judge ruled the change intruded on Congress's powers and that the administration had no authority to impose the fee. The Trump administration is ordering the Census Bureau to come up with new plans for protecting people's privacy when it produces statistics based on people's personal information. As NPR's Hansi Lo Wong reports, the new policy could limit the data released from the census and other federal government surveys.
Federal law requires the Census Bureau to keep people anonymous in its statistics. For decades, one of the main ways the Bureau has done that is by adding what's known as statistical noise to make certain data fuzzy, especially data about small geographic areas and minority populations who could be easy to identify. But the Trump administration is now banning this approach to data privacy protection. Spokespeople for the Commerce Department, which oversees the Bureau, did not immediately respond to NPR's questions about why the ban was issued. For the 2020 census, no statistical noise was added to the state-level population numbers used to redistribute congressional seats and electoral college votes. But last year, the Bureau said it was planning to keep using this privacy protection for neighborhood-level results from the 2030 census. Hansi Lo Wong, NPR News.
The U.S. men's national soccer team is set to face Paraguay in its opening game at the World Cup on Friday. As NPR's Rafael Nam reports, there are still plenty of tickets left for the game.
The opening game for the World Cup is traditionally one of the hardest tickets to get in the tournament. But this time, FIFA still has over 100 tickets left for the U.S. first game this week. And there are thousands more in resale platforms such as StubHub or FIFA's own marketplace, many at below face value. A big reason for that? The prices. The most expensive tickets for that game cost over $2,700, while the cheapest are over $1,000. Canada, one of the three co-hosts of the tournament, also had unsold tickets for its opening game against Bosnia-Herzegovina this week. Rafael Nam, NPR News.
Wall Street held steadier today and recovered some of its sell-off from last week, but oil prices rose following fighting between Israel and Iran. The S&P 500 added a quarter of a percent, coming off more than a 2.5% drop on Friday. This is NPR News. Iran's World Cup team arrived in Mexico wearing pins highlighting the victims of a deadly missile strike on an elementary school. The pins included the number 168, referring to the people killed, most of them children, when a likely U.S. strike hit the school in southern Iran. The head of the World Health Organization is calling on Uganda to reconsider its decision to close its border with the Democratic Republic of Congo as both countries deal with an Ebola outbreak. Michael Koloki has more.
Tedros Ghebreyesus, the WHO Director General, said Uganda, which temporarily shut its border with Congo last month, should rethink the move. Ugandan authorities had previously said the action was taken to limit the spread of Ebola. However, the WHO chief warned that blanket travel restrictions are not effective. Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni called for regional cross-border collaboration in tackling the disease. The White House had said last month that the U.S. was setting up a facility in Kenya to quarantine Americans exposed to Ebola, which a Kenyan court later temporarily suspended. For NPR News, I'm Michael Kaloki in Nairobi.
Researchers at 23andMe say they have identified the lost remains of Maryland's second colonial governor, Thomas Green, who died in 1651. According to Maryland Matters, the discovery came after dozens of bodies were discovered in a graveyard in St. Mary's County, Maryland. Researchers compared DNA with those bodies with those of more than 11.5 million people in 23andMe's genetic database. It's the first time ancient DNA has been used in this way to identify people in a situation where researchers had no idea who they might be. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station. Thank you.
Barry Green kicking off tonight's Jazz in the Night with the Grant Green tune called Green Street. Now, Barry Green has an E at the end of Green, so not the same spelling as Grant Green, but in the same spirit there. The album called Giant's Pet Bianchi, the organist on that one, and Ulysses Owens Jr., the drummer. I'm Bob McWilliams. Welcome to the first Jazz in the Night of this week, and we've got some cooking music for you, including about 15-plus minutes from the Vinyl Vault, the Jazz Messengers at the Cafe Bohemia live in 1956, a band with Horace Silver, Hank Mobley, Art Blakey, Kenny Dorman, Doug Watkins, and they are cooking. And we will be listening with Emmett Cohen up next in his terrific new album, Universal Truth. I'm actually going to play a couple from this one, starting off with Buddo, which dates to Miles Davis and Bud Powell collaboration in the late 40s. And it'll be the trio, Emmett Cohen, piano, bassist Yasushi Nakamura, and drummer Joe Farnsworth. And then John Coltrane's Blue Train. And that'll have Jeremy Pelt on trumpet and tenor saxophones, George Coleman and Tavon Pennicott. New music from pianist Emmett Cohen here on KPR.